Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor, welcoming you out for another show today, a show that's for you and is about you. Those of you that are tired of working so hard for your money and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you, so you work because you want to, not because you have to. So you can work because it's fun, you know, and you have that great ability to create cash flow now, because when you have that cash flow creates options. And when you have more options in your life, that's where there's freedom. And so I'm welcoming you guys on the show because the show isn't just about making your life better and obviously making it more comfortable so you can be with those you love when you want to be with them. But it's also about allowing you to bless others' lives too, where you can create your own ripple effect throughout the world, or even just around your small community of people that those are the lives that you touch. So I appreciate having you guys on and welcome having you here because, man, it's about you. This is what drives me to be a part of this every day, and thank you for being a part of it too. Hey, also, just want to remind you, check out our other podcasts. I just had somebody reach out to me recently who said, hey, Chris, you know, I've already binge-listened. I don't know, I was going to say binge-watched, but binge-listened to about your first 40 episodes, which, by the way, those were like much worse quality of audio because I was doing it directly through Blog Talk at that time. But 40 episodes, he said, and he was able to take those tips and free up $2,400 a month between him and his wife and their finances. So guys, you know, be sure to check out other episodes as well if you haven't done so. Feel free to binge all you want. They're pretty short episodes. But also, you know, hey, keep sharing this with your friends. I appreciate you guys reaching out and doing that because, man, I love the ripple effect I'm able to create, and you guys have been such a big part of that. So anyways, just want to bring that up. I'll tell you, I had somebody else reach out to. If I could just spend a minute just talking about some of you guys. Somebody reached out to me and said, hey, I've been listening to your show. You know, what can we do? And so we had a little conversation and chatted with them, and he had about $2 million sitting in cash just waiting around, you know, and he's like, you know, I could keep in the stock market, but obviously that's not doing great lately. You know, in fact, a lot of you guys have been telling me that even though the market's kind of gone up in the last few years, your accounts have actually broken even or gone down, especially when you factor in all the expense fees and stuff that you're paying under the table, or just the fact that the funds aren't doing as well as you thought, even if they're indexed funds. And so he's like, I got $2 million, you know, or so, what can we do? And looking at the situation, it's like, dude, we could seriously create conservatively with his specific situation, right? $250,000 to $300,000 a year, you know, and that's pretty, I mean, that's definitely on the high end for sure. You know, that's great there. That's in the first year. That's exponentially growing year after year. I had another person reach out recently that they said, hey, I don't know what I've got here. I've only got a little bit of money and some mutual funds, about 200 grand. I'm not sure what to do with it. And I'm like, man, you could take that 200 grand and turn it to at least $1,500 to $2,000 a month, you know, conservatively speaking, you know, depending on where you invest it. And that kind of floored him too, since he hadn't been doing that. He'd been, you know, getting roughly about a quarter to a third of that in mutual funds. And that's kind of what I want to segue into today is that, you know, I get a lot of people asking, okay, where are the places I should be investing? What vehicles should I be using to do that? Now, there's all kinds of places you can put your money in. And I'm going to talk about some of the more traditional type of vehicles that maybe you have heard of, but maybe haven't heard of in quite in this light. And so I'm not even talking about alternative investing, although there's some awesome options there, and we'll tie that back in too, because there are some vehicles you can use to do alternative investing, where there's other vehicles where you cannot. And so I want to talk about specifically the tax-free category, or tax-advantaged, tax-favored, whatever people call it. It's the one that usually you pay with after-tax dollars, and it grows tax-free, and then it comes out tax-free. That's the category I want to talk about today. I'm not going to focus so much on like the tax deferred, which really isn't a tax benefit at all, right? You can either pay taxes today and just keep getting taxed every year like you do on stocks and mutual funds and bonds and savings accounts and everything else. Those are the things that are taxed all the time, like every year. You have to report those gains. And then there's other things like your 401ks or IRAs, right? Where those are tax deferred. They don't get taxed today. They do grow tax free, but it's really a tax delay. It's not tax free because, yes, you might get it right off today, but when you do eventually access that cash down the road, you're going to have to pay taxes on it. And the real question you have to ask yourself is if you're going to do that kind of investing, would you rather pay taxes today or in the future? You know, do you feel that taxes are going to be lower today or lower in the future? That's the real question. And I remember when I used to work for a corporation, and this is about 20 years ago, the HR rep that started teaching about it, because she's, of course, the benefits specialist, so naturally she's got to be the financial expert in the room. And she was talking about the 401k, and I was just starting to get educated as a financial advisor, right? And I was starting to realize that there were tax never type of scenarios, you know, tax advantage or tax free scenarios. And she was talking about the 401k, which I had some money in, you know, because I was getting the match because I thought I should at least match up to the match, right? That's what I used to do. That's what I used to teach. And then I remember her saying in the meeting, she said, you know, guys, you have to ask yourself, like, you know, are you going to need more money now or in the future? She's like, well, when you have kids, it's more expensive today. So, you know, when you're older, you don't need that much money. It's just going to be you guys. You shouldn't have any kids at home. And so your taxes will be less. Therefore, you should be getting a 401k, putting money in there so you get taxed less in the future because you're going to spend less money in the future. And of course, I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know. And I was in my 20s and I still questioned that, right? That kind of advice that she was giving. But if you ask anybody who's in their 60s right now, ask them, hey, you're spending less money today or more money today? And I guarantee they're going to say more. And that's for a few reasons. I mean, one is that naturally inflation will guarantee you'll have to spend more money. I mean, now, if you're a few years away from retirement and you're making a sick amount of money right now, right? Maybe you're making so much money, you can barely handle it, you know? And you know that once you go to retirement, you don't even need that much for your lifestyle. You have this extra cash that's burning a hole in your pocket. Now, for you, maybe that 401k actually might put you in a better situation because, yeah, you might be living on less down the road, which is only a few years away. But I can guarantee anybody else who has at least, you know, more than 5-10 years away from hitting that retirement age, you know, so those that are probably about 50 years old, early 50s or younger, you're probably thinking you're going to be spending more in the future. Or maybe you want to spend more because you actually want to have a life, right? And so trying to defer your taxes down the road is just ridiculous. And like I said, with inflation alone, even if you try to keep your lifestyle the same, right? The problem is that you're going to have a few other problems. You know, one, inflation. If inflation is doubling about every 12 years or so, give or take, right? Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's slower. But say it's on average about every 12 years. That means if you have 25 years of retirement, that means you got to have four times the amount of money you're spending today for the future. Naturally, even if taxes don't go up in the future, you are going to have to, you're going to have to pull out more money, therefore pay more taxes because you'll be in a higher tax bracket, even if tax brackets stay the same. Now, if you ask most people, they think taxes are going to go up or down in the future, especially compared to where we are right now with the whole new tax plan that went into effect last year. I'm sure you're probably thinking, yeah, it's probably going up. So regardless, you're probably going to see more taxes. So why are we delaying it, right? So the question is, do we rather be taxed on the seed or on the harvest? I'd rather be taxed on the seed and keep all the harvest. And that's where these taxed never or taxed advantage type categories come into play, these tax-free categories. And there's really only two places. Because even if you talk about oil and gas, you know, one of alternative investments, right? Yes, you can get 100% tax write-off this year, but you're still going to get taxes on some gains. It'll be less than income tax by a little bit, but you're still going to be taxed on the gains. So it's not a tax advantage scenario. It's not a tax-free place. Even when we talk about things like conservation easements or other types of strategies, it's not a tax never scenario. But, you know, here's where we do have it. There's really two vehicles that do this: Roth IRA and life insurance. That's pretty much it. Now, I'll tell you, there's some people out there that'll try to give them these fancy little names to life insurance, like LERPs, life insurance retirement plans. You know, they'll call them a LERP, so they'll throw in some weird tax code, which is basically the tax code that makes life insurance tax-free. And they'll throw that in there and say, here's the new plan, the four-whatever plan, right, and that kind of stuff. And don't buy into that crap. Those are just people ashamed to call it for what it is. It's life insurance, okay, guys? It's just life insurance. So your choices are one of two things, Roth IRA or life insurance. Both of them you use after-tax dollars, so whatever's left when you get your paycheck or money that comes in. You take that money, you put it in this place, it grows tax-free, and then it can come out tax-free. Now, I want to talk about these two and compare them and just talk about the advantages to each one. Because, like I said, I mean, the advantage rate alone here alone is just the tax scenario in general, I think, is much, much better. Now, let's talk about the Roth here. The Roth, as of this year, 2019, if you're under the age of 50, you can only put in $6,000 a year. If you're over the age of 50, you can put in $7,000 a year. Now, here's one scenario. Now, this is good because at least you can get the money in, but here's one problem. Do you think you'll be able to hit your retirement goals putting in $6,000 or $7,000 a year? Well, if you go back to one of my blogs, and you can actually go to moneyripples.com, go into the blog section. If you go back a little ways, you'll see one that's called Retirement is a Lie. That's one of the article titles here. And you'll see I kind of break down the numbers of what it takes, assuming that you net a 6% return after fees. By the way, the average 401k fee goes from anywhere from 0.7 to 1.34% average. A lot of these times these fees can go over 2%. But the bigger the company, usually the average is smaller. So let's just say it's 1%. Even if you average 7% with your funds, take out 1%, you average 6%. So I use 6%. And I said 6%, and then inflation only being 3%, which is less than the reality. But I'm going off of a conservative numbers, right? And you want to live on $60,000 a year lifestyle. So if you got to keep up with that $60,000 a year, and say we can only pull off 3%, now I just threw out a ton of numbers here. Here's the deal. If you want $60,000 a year today using mutual funds, you have to have $2 million. So you remember that guy I used the example. I said, hey, you've got $2 million in cash. Well, if you did the typical mutual fund strategy, you wouldn't want to pull off more than 3%, which is $60,000 a year. Now, that seems pretty crazy for somebody who's a multimillionaire to try to live on $60,000 a year, right? But that's kind of his choice. That's the choice you really have. His advisor was actually saying less because his advisor was saying, hey, some of these funds aren't doing so great. Plus, he charges his own fees on top of the other fees. So he has his own management fees on top of it, right? I told that guy, man, based on the management fees you're paying this advisor alone, who's going to get paid whether you make money or not, my fees are going to be less. I told him, your fees are going to be less, and you're going to make a heck of a lot more money than that. And that's kind of to me, I was like, this is a no-brainer. Easy, right? So anyways, yeah, that's what I mean by that. $60,000 a year from $2 million. But $2 million, you got to keep up that 3% inflation, right? Because, hey, $2 million today is not going to buy $2 million tomorrow. And so we said, hey, if you got, however many years this is, we got to keep up for inflation, what would you need to save earning only 6% average a year in your funds? What would you need to save? Well, if you had 30 years to save, you don't have to save $8,800 a month. If you're saving for 20 years, you got to save $11,650 a month or about $140,000 a year. So even if you say, I want to retire by 65, I'm 45. Guess what? Start saving $11,600 a year in your mutual funds and you can get there at a $60,000 a year lifestyle. Not even $100,000 a year lifestyle. 60. That's it. So that's what I mean by that, right? Now, we've talked about cash flow and things like that before. There's ways to make these numbers more efficient, and that's a big part of what I teach. So when you're talking about a Roth IRA, which is mutual fund based, and yes, you can do some alternative investing with Roth IRAs, but I'll talk about that in a second. The truth is that $6,000 or $7,000 a year is not even close to being enough for you. Not even close. So that's one issue. Here's another issue. There's an income limit. If you make, as a couple, over $193,000 a year, you can't even invest in a Roth anyways. You're basically said no, sorry. So here's the deal. Roth IRAs are basically made for the poor middle class. That's and not even the upper middle class. Even just the lower middle class or the middle class. That's it. If you make more than $193,000 a year on your tax returns, you can't even invest in a Roth IRA. Now, there's like Roth 401ks and things like that. Now, granted, here's something that's kind of cool is that, yes, a 401k, you can save more, right? You can save roughly about 20 grand a year. Now, that's still, as I just showed you with those numbers, not enough, right? That's not even enough. It can help, but it's not enough. Not to mention you have to wait till you're 59 and a half, and there's all these other rules. What if the market goes down when you're trying to get out? There's all these kind of uncertainties, right? Even if you make it to a Roth 401k, okay, now you got some Roth benefits. Much better, because at least now you were able to dump money in the 401k and move it to the Roth. Here's the key, though. If you ever try to access the Roth, you got to wait another 5 years. So when you ever set up a Roth, you got to wait 5 years or they're going to throw on a 10% penalty on you for even touching the money you put in with after-tax dollars. That's supposed to be your money, but it's not. So anytime you have IRAs, 401ks, or any other tax code type stuff, you're really in business with the IRS, with the government. They're basically the ones who are going to tell you whether or not you can make this work. Also, there's no grandfathering in tax laws. So if they do change the tax laws on anything, including a Roth IRA, you cannot do that. And that's an issue. Liquidity, like I mentioned, there's that five-year rule where you get a 10% penalty on the money you've put in. Also, you got to wait till you're 59 and a half. Now, after the 5 years, you can take out money that you've put in before you're 59 and a half. And I, a lot of times, will talk to people about this, say, hey, you've got a Roth here. Maybe we use this money to go and invest because, hey, we can access at least the money you've put in, not the gains, but the money you've put in, we can access and start investing differently outside of the Roth. Because, by the way, if you try to buy real estate using IRAs like Roths and things like that, you've got some limitations. One, if you try to buy a property with it, you got to put twice the down payment. So instead of 20 or 25%, you got to put down 40 or 50% down on a property. So you got to put more money down on a property. And then two, even though you put more money down, which should put the bank at less risk, nope, the bank charges you a higher interest rate than if you put the 20 or 25% down. So you have a higher interest rate and you've got to put down double the money, which means you've lost more returns, more potential returns if you do it that way. Not saying it's not an answer for you or a possibility, but if I were to invest in things, especially alternative investments, I do not want to stuff IRAs and Roth IRAs. Fees, of course, yes, there's fees, and there's fees in both of these scenarios. And then can you double dip? Like when I've talked about can you double dip by allowing your money to be in the Roth, earn interest in there, and borrow money from your Roth and earn interest outside of it. So it's earning interest in two places at once. Can you do that? No, there's no double dip scenario. Now let's go to the life insurance piece. Limits. Now, it depends. There's different companies that have different limits. But for the most part, most companies don't want you putting in more than 25% of your income. So you can put in up to 25% of your income, and sometimes more if you've got other savings and other net worth and things like that. Sometimes you can dump in more than that. In fact, really, there is no limit. I've had people doing $500,000 a year. I've had people doing a few thousand a year, you know, or done kid policies for like $1,000 a year even, right? I mean, there's all kinds of ranges you can do that allows you to dump in more money. But the truth is that really there is no limitation. It's only based on what you're able to qualify for death benefit, which in most cases, most people don't have enough money that they would even be pressing and pushing against that death benefit maximum. So really you have almost this unlimited amount of money you could be putting in. And the more money you make, the more money you can dump in. That's the beautiful thing. If you want to, like I said, dump in $500,000 or even $1 million a year, you can do that. If you want to dump in a few thousand a year, you can do that too. There is no income limit, so it doesn't matter how little or how much you make, you can actually do a heck of a lot. So you're making millions a year, not a problem. You can still contribute to this. In fact, this is the answer for those of you that are like the middle class, upper middle class, or even the upper class. This is actually how you're being able to get around it. This is also why the lobbying has worked well with governments because, hey, politicians, this is what they're using too. In fact, the top CEO is in most every Fortune 500 firm is going to be using these kind of plans themselves. And so this is something that, although you might not have heard a ton of this on the mainstream front, well, that's because they're not marketing to you. They're marketing to people that really are just going to dump money in and told to be brainless about it, right? So yeah, there is no income limit. Liquidity. Rather than having to wait 5 years or even waiting till you're 59 and a half, you can actually have 70 to 75% of your cash that dumped in just the first year or even the first month available from day one. So that means you have access from day one and it's free to invest however you want. Where IRAs have certain rules, they say, hey, if you're going to do self-directed IRAs, you got to only do it in these certain areas. You can't invest here, but you can invest here. There is no limitation there. You can invest wherever the heck you want. You know, not to mention it's guaranteed and it's, you know, growing tax-free and it's more protected from lawsuits of creditors than actually the Roth IRA. The only thing that's similar in protection would be the 401k, which has similar protections. But I didn't even mention that, but that's almost a bonus, is that lawsuits and creditors, people like that are trying to claim money from you. They cannot access these funds or have a very difficult time doing it depending on which state you live in. Are there fees? Yep, you got it. There's life insurance fees. And depending how we do it, we can actually do it to where the fees are become obsolete after within the first 5 years. Can you double dip? Yes. If and only if it's whole life. If it's indexed universal life or any kind of universal life or other types of life insurance, you cannot double dip exactly. You do not earn returns in two places at once. But if it's whole life, yes, you can be earning a net 2-3% returns on top of the money returns that you're making in these other investments. So if you're making 12% a year in your investments, awesome. Well, now you can make at least a 14-15% net return just with the same money you're going to be using anyways. And so you got more, you got more flexibility, more ability to use it however you want. Not to mention, of course, this is a perk. Yes, you got a death benefit, so yeah, you've got that. But the cool thing is, you don't even have to really need a death benefit. You know, like that, the perks outweigh above and beyond the perk of a death benefit. This is where it becomes life insurance, not death insurance. Now, most people will teach you how to do it that way. You know, to where, you know, you've got to put money in and you do it for a long time and all that kind of stuff. That's not how I teach it. That's not how I structure it or design it when I do it myself. So I actually design life insurance policies for people. And I'll tell you, like, it's so much fun when you design a policy and you're saying, hey, just so you know, this is like a tax-free supercharged savings account. And in the first 5 years, you're already beating your savings account. Not to mention you can go and invest it and double dip and do all kinds of fun things, which that reason alone, even for Roth IRAs and life insurance, were neck and neck. If you could contribute the same and do everything the same, just for the mere fact I can double dip my returns means it's well worth the fees of a life insurance to do that kind of policy to get that kind of return. But now you throw in the fact that you're way more flexible. You don't have to deal with all these limitations that the government sets on you as much. Now it makes it way easier to keep this tax free. By the way, pay close attention. If you have a net worth, maybe you have a good, very good productive business, maybe you got a lot of money in savings or even in real estate or whatever it might be, you've got a net worth hovering right around $5 million or more, there's another option with life insurance that's not taught out there very often called premium financing. This is basically saying, hey, what would it be like if you wouldn't even have to pay a single dime for the policy, that essentially through... and what I mean by that is essentially leveraging the banks to put money in for you. So the banks are now putting money in to where they're paying your insurance premiums. And yes, you're able to work it out to where you could even net out with no cost, even with the interest and everything else. But you create arbitrage. You basically play the bank rules on the bank. So you earn better returns than the bank does, or than the bank has you pay them. Bank pays for your insurance premiums. And then get this. Say that you have a $5 million net worth. The bank can usually will get you at least a $5 million type of policy on you. But building up the cash value and everything else, they'll get their money back after like 15 years. But after, let's say, year 16 or 17, you're now pulling off. Again, you netted zero cost out of your pocket, but you're able to pull out a net of $68,000 a year if you're age 50 right now, right? So in 17 years, when you're like 67, you net out $68,000 a year until you're age 90. That's like an infinite rate of return. Even if you netted $1,000 a year, that's an infinite rate of return, right? But imagine if it's like $60,000, $70,000 a year that you net just by leveraging the bank. Guys, if you're not at $5 million in net worth, you want to get there fast. And yes, there are ways to do it if you don't have $5 million net worth, but guess what? You got to put a lot of your own money in too. So you got to put yourself at risk. But if you're at $5 million net worth or more, you're about at that point, there's ways to even get to where the bank finances your policy for you, and then you get to keep all the profits. It's awesome. So anyways, I won't go into too much detail on that, but if you're in that situation, oh man, there's some options for you. So anyways, guys, that's the thing. You can do a Roth, you can do life insurance. And you know what? And honestly, both have some great benefits. Both have some awesome options because they do give you those tax benefits later on. The real question is, what allows you to create cash flow now It's a no-brainer. The life insurance is the one that's going to give you the better options there. Yes, you can do it with a Roth, but again, it's limited. But with the life insurance, you can do so much more. If you got more questions on that, you can shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. You can learn how to do that. In the meantime, guys, I hope this is beneficial for you. I hope you learned a lot. And again, thank you for tuning in and sharing this with others, too. I hope it makes for great conversations. I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.